from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App. You are still listening?
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo grants golden visa facility to Shin Tae-yong. Golden Visa is launched to increase quality tourist visit. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news where Indonesian President Joko Widodo presents the Golden Visa facility to Indonesian national team coach Shin Tae-yong at the launching ceremony of the Indonesian Golden Visa in Jakarta on Thursday. After delivering a speech, President Joko Widodo handed over the first Golden Visa facility to Shin Tae-yong as it was officially launched symbolically. Shin Tae-yong is the coach of the Indonesian national football team from South Korea. President Joko Widodo also said that foreign nationals who receive the Golden Visa facility must be selected by considering how much benefit they can bring to Indonesia. Golden Visa is a new form of second home visa that targets international investors and business people, global talents, and foreign tourists who meet the criteria. The government provides an opportunity for individual foreigners who wants to get a golden visa to get a residence permit for 5 years by depositing investment funds of $350,000. Furthermore, foreigners who are investor or want to establish a company must deposit investment funds of $2.5 million to obtain a residence permit for 5 years. President Joko Widodo launched the Golden Visa in Jakarta on Thursday. The Golden Visa is a new form of second home visa that targets international investors and business people, global talents and foreign tourists who meet the criteria to invest and work in Indonesia. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno, after attending the Golden Visa launch, hopes that the Golden Visa policy can increase the number of quality tourists so that it will strengthen the tourism sector ecosystem.
Investor who use the Golden Visa in and out will be good for increasing the number of tourist trips. Later, they will also invite more other investors and other colleagues to Indonesia as an investment destination, and they will work here. This will strengthen the tourism industry ecosystem.
Minister Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno further said, with the presence of the Golden Visa, which previously the government was aiming for foreign tourist spending per visit of around $1,000 per pax, now it can reach much greater, even three times. According to Minister Sandiaga Uno, currently, there are many investors from the United States, Europe, and the Middle East who have started asking about the Golden Visa policy to invest in tourism sector and the creative economy. The Embassy of Peru to Indonesia held a photo exhibition, Sipi Bo Konibo, Portraits of My Blood, by David Diaz at Cannes Gallery in Jakarta. Indonesian arts curator Bambang Asrini, on the first day of the exhibition on Thursday, saw the uniqueness of David Diaz's photos. Bambang says that Diaz depicted the daily life of the Sipi Bokonibo indigenous people in Peru in ethnic photography, illustrating how the culture is very diverse.
Saya melihat ini ada satu keunikan, tidak hanya soal fotografi.
I see that there is a uniqueness not only about photography in the form of art, but also more in depth, which is work that I think is technically characterized photography, becoming an ethnic photography, the approach of anthropology, ethnicity, and also photography. It is very good at describing how cultures are very diverse. Apparently, on the banks of the Amazon River, communities appear. Well, one of them is this Sipibo Konibo.
According to Bambang, ethnic photography exhibition that race tribes in Indonesia also need to be shown to the whole world, given the rich culture that Indonesia has. He gave an example of the Dayak ethnicity with its culture, which he thought was worth exploring. Bambang also said that ethnic photography exhibitions are important to convey narratives about who and where a society and its traditions will go. The Embassy of Peru to Indonesia held a photo exhibition, Sipibo Konibo Portraits of My Blood by Peruvian photographer David Diaz. Located at Kunst Gallery in Jakarta, the exhibition start opening from Thursday until the next 2 weeks. Peruvian Ambassador to Indonesia, Luis Suboyama, in his speech said, this exhibition reveals the life of indigenous people in the Amazon rainforest in depth.
In the series, Sipibo Konibo Portraits of My Blood, both in outdoor and studio settings, he captures the people from the surrounding village from an intimate perspective, reflecting the Sipibo Konibo belief of a spirit shared by men, by women, by the plants, by the animals, and other elements of the environment, of the nature, in a holistic and harmonious way.
Ambassador Suboyama added, Diaz as a photographer presents the photos in this exhibition as historical documents, as well as a tribute to the ancestors of Sipibo Konibo and the pioneer of Peruvian photography, Martin Chambi. This exhibition will also be held in a number of cities in Indonesia, such as Bandung, Yogyakarta, Surabaya, and Bali. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in the retreat session of the 57 ASEAN Foreign Ministers Meeting AMM in Vientiane, Laos on Thursday emphasized the importance of ASEAN to avoid a proxy for any power. She feared that once ASEAN becomes a proxy, it will be difficult for ASEAN to play a central role and remain an anchor for the realization of peace and stability in the region. In a written statement from the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, it was stated that to maintain ASEAN centrality, Indonesia ensures that the implementation of the ASEAN Outlook on Indo-Pacific AOIP remains mainstream both in ASEAN activities and speaking partners. Minister Retno Marsudi also proposed Indonesia's initiative so that ASEAN can compile and agree on the AOIP declaration as the main reference for regional architecture, as mentioned in the Concord 4 document. The Commander of Doctrine, Development, Education and Training of the Indonesian Air Force, Air Marshal Arif Mustafa, discussed cooperation in the field of defense with the defense attaché of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, Brigadier General Ahmed Saad Al-Zahrani. In an official press release of the Air Force received in Jakarta on Thursday, Arif Mustafa explained that the discussion took place when Brigadier General Ahmed Saad came to Adi Sucipto Building, Halim Perdana Kusuma in East Jakarta. He also explained that the military cooperation between the Indonesian Air Force and the Saudi Arabian military is very good and has been going on for quite a long time. The most recent on is the support of the Saudi Arabian military during the evacuation mission of Indonesian citizens from Sudan in 2023 and assistance to 10 IAU personnel when carrying out the Hajj pilgrimage. In addition, there is cooperation in the field of education through General Development Education at the Air Force Staff and Command School. Now, the Air Force is discussing the possibility of military cooperation by holding joint exercise. Let's move on to the international news, where the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi met on Thursday on the sidelines of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations ASEAN Foreign Ministers Meeting in Laos. Moscow and AFP journalists reported. Their meeting came a day after Wang Yi held talks in China with Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba. After the meeting, Lavrov left the venue without giving details of the content his talk with Wang Yi. China is a close political and economic ally of Russia. NATO even considers Beijing as decisive supporters of Moscow's war in Ukraine. A climate-related protest brought all flights at the international airport in the German city of Frankfurt to a halt on Thursday morning. Air transportation users were asked to check flight status before coming to the airport and to allocate more time for their trip. A spokesman for the federal police told the Frankfurter's Allgemeine daily newspapers that six activists from the Last Generation movement cut through the outer fence to enter the airfield and perch on the asphalt. They uploaded a photo of a protester's perch on the asphalt and holding a poster that read, "Oil kills." The demonstration caused at least 140 flights to be cancelled and about 50 others diverted. Listen and let's move it on to commentary for today.
This is Voice of Indonesia with commentary entitled UK Foreign Minister Visits India. UK Foreign Minister David Lammy made a two-day visit on July the 24th and 25th to India. This visit is considered important because it occurred within a month of the formation of a new government in the United Kingdom. David Lammy has said several times that cooperation with India will be a priority for the new UK government and wants to collaborate with the country in various fields. During his visit to India, David Lammy had meetings with Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi and Indian Foreign Minister Subramanian Jaishankar. During the meeting with the Indian Prime Minister, David Lammy launched the new UK-India Technology Security Initiative. As quoted from Antara on July the 25th, the new initiative will renew and deepen the comprehensive strategic partnership with a focus on increasing economic growth in both countries. This initiative also aims to increase collaboration in critical and emerging technologies across priority sectors. In addition, it will also establish a new approach to how the UK and India work together on various critical technologies in this decade. Meanwhile, with the Indian Foreign Minister, as quoted from IndianNewsNetwork.com on July the 25th, David Lammy held discussions on various fields. The two parties discussed cooperation in the fields of climate and green economy. In addition, the UK and India also agreed to deepen defense and security cooperation in the Indo-Pacific and beyond, and increase capacity to address increasing threats from non-state actors. Regarding defense and security in the Indo-Pacific and beyond, the UK, as one of the global powers, is indeed actively cooperating not only with India, but also with several countries in the Indo-Pacific. The UK, along with its Indo-Pacific partners such as Australia, New Zealand, India, Indonesia, Japan, South Korea, and the United States, are building a global network to promote security, freedom, including freedom of business, democracy, and good governance. The UK's attitude is understandable, considering that the Indo-Pacific region is the world's growth engine, home to half the world's population and 40% of global gross domestic product. Some of the fastest growing economies are in this region. The Indo-Pacific region is also a geopolitical arena, as seen in tensions in the South China Sea and the nuclear issue on the Korean Peninsula, in addition to non-state threats such as terrorism and serious and organized crime. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nico Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
I'll start today in history with July 26, 1996. Egypt takes over the Suez Canal. The Suez Canal is an artificial canal in Egypt that connects the Mediterranean Sea in the north and the Red Sea in the south. The Suez Canal is an important part of the sea route between Europe and Asia. On July 26, 1956, Egyptian President Gamal Abdel Nasser nationalized the Suez Canal from the ownership of a French company. Egypt says that canal because the World Bank refused to fund the construction of the Aswan Dam on the Nile River. The nationalization of the Suez Canal led to Britain, France and Israel join force to fight Egypt but failed. Moving on to July 26, 2016, the first World Mangrove Day. July 26 was designed as World Mangrove Day at the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO, conference in November 2015. July 26 was chosen to commemorate a Greenpeace activist from Micronesia, Heiho Daniel Nanoto, who died on July 26, 1998. Nanoto died of a heart attack while involved a protest against shrimp farms that were destroying mangrove forests. The commemoration of World Mangrove Day is intended to emphasize the importance of mangrove as a unique ecosystem but vulnerable to damage. I will end today in history with July 26 being commemorated as Indonesian Putri Day. A group of Indonesian puts declared Indonesian Putri Day on November 22, 2012 in Riau. The commemoration of Indonesian Putri Days aim to raise public awareness of the weakness of Indonesian Putri and to commemorate the important role of Putri in the life of the nation. The commemoration date of Indonesian Putri Day is taken from the birth date of the great Indonesian Put Khairil Anwar, July 26, 1922. Khairil is nicknamed the father of Indonesian Putri because of his great contribution in introducing an authentic and revolutionary modern Putri style, especially during the Indonesian War of Independence. That was today in history of Voice of Indonesia.
Jatuh hati padamu sepenuh hati, hidup pun akan ku beri, apapun kan ku lakui, tapi tak pernah ku bermimpi kau tinggalkan aku pergi tanpa tahu rasa ini. Rasaku membenci, tiba-tiba kamu datang saat kau telah dengannya semakin hancur hatiku. Jangan datang lagi cinta, bagaimana aku bisa lupa? Padahal kau tahu keadaannya, kau bukanlah untukku. Jangan lagi rindu cinta, ku tak mau ada yang terluka. Bahagiakan dia, aku tak apa, biar aku yang pura-pura. Saat kau telah dengar
bagaimana aku bisa lupa, padahal kau tahu keadaannya, kau bukanlah untukku. Jangan lagi rindu cinta, ku tak mau ada yang terluka. Bahagiakan dia,
bahagiakan dia,
biar aku ya pura-pura lupa. Biar aku yang pura-pura lupa.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, today's edition of My Indonesia comes with the title, Government Improves Small Medium Industrial Product Packaging with Design Clinic. The Indonesian Industry Ministry facilitated brand and packaging design improvement for small medium industries through the Brand and Packaging Design Clinic, KDMK. The program provides a workshop and training. The goal is to boost sales of the industrial entrepreneurs in the domestic market. Quoted from Antara on Wednesday, 24th of July, 2024, Director General of Small, Medium and Multivarious Industry at the Industry Ministry, Reni Yanita, said that the design clinic aims to help small medium industry in selecting suitable packaging material for their products. Packaging technology, packaging design, law complying brand label, and packaging printing. Reni also said that the program aims to help industry players create attractive brand and packaging design according to the market segment and meet the established sales standard. Reni further remarked that one of the clinic's activities on packaging improvement was a regular workshop in Pangandaran Regency, West Java, on 17th to 18th of July, which was joined by 30 industrial entrepreneurs. Meanwhile, Director of Food, Furniture and Construction Materials, Small Medium Industry, Yedi Sabaryadi, said the workshop shares knowledge with entrepreneurs about selecting good product packaging and other important marketing aspects, such as intellectual property rights registration for brands. In the workshop, they also shared the channel of the digital version of the Brand and Packaging Design Clinic, AKDMK, that the entrepreneurs can use to submit design facilities online and to map packaging centers that are spread across Indonesia. According to Sabaryadi, they also put the data of packaging producer partners so that small-medium industry entrepreneurs who have received packaging design facilities can gain access to quality and affordable packaging vendors. In 2023, the ministry facilitated 209 small-medium industries, resulting in 409 packaging designs, 299 brand designs, as well as printing support for 95 industries. That's My Indonesia.
Jalan sambil bergandeng tangan, berdansa sambil pelukan rasa. Oh, angin berbunyi nada seperti lagu cinta, ku tulis tentangmu. Kita bikin romantis, bikin paling romantis.
Sambil bermain mata turun ke hati, hatinya jatuh.
Kita bikin
sambil merayu, lupakan ada waktu. Oh, angin berbunyi nada seperti lagu cinta. Ku tulis tentangmu, kita bikin romantis, bikin
syahdu. Kita bikin romantis, yang paling romantis,
sambil gandengan tangan hati pelukan.
Kita bikin romantis,
sambil gandengan tangan, lalu berdansa, sambil
berangkat
rasa.
Oh, makin romantis,
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Well, listeners, welcome back to today's editions of Indonesian Wonder. In these editions, I'm going to talk about Besengek Tempe Benguk from Yogyakarta. Listener, Yogyakarta has various culinary dish that must be tasted. One of the most famous culinary is gudeg, a sweet-flavored dish that has become the city's culinary icon. Apart from gudeg, there are other culinary delights that you can try. One of them is Besengek Tempe Benguk. Besengek Tempe Benguk is a specialty of Kulon Progo Regency, Yogyakarta. Tempe Benguk is tempe made from benguk, a type of legume, kara beans, as a substitute for soybeans. The production of tempeh benguk is the same as making soybean tempeh. However, after becoming tempeh, it is then processed with the besengek method, that is cooking tempeh benguk in the seasoned coconut milk bath. The processing process takes quite a long time, up to 10 days. Listener, besengek tempeh benguk is approximated to have been around for more than 4 generations. In the past, in the Kulon Progo area, koro benguk beans were very abundant, so the local community used it as local culinary. The appearance of besengek tempeh benguk looks less attractive because it is black, with a slight gray color from coconut milk. But for the local community, this culinary has its own philosophical meaning in life. The black color is a color that gives the impressions of mystery and frightening, but has strength. The gray color symbolizes intelligence. This is based on the making of coconut milk. Thick coconut milk, because if it is wrong in the cooking process, it will not be shaped. Listener, when tasted, the taste of tempeh benguk is a soft with the taste of spices that seep savory. If you want to taste besengek tempeh benguk, you should come early in the morning to the markets in Kulon Progo. For example, at Nanggrung Market. There, you will get besengek tempeh benguk that is warm because it has just been cooked, combined with the fragrant aroma of coconut leaves as a wrapper. The price is relatively affordable, around 5,000 Indonesian rupiah per 10 pieces of tempeh. That's Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Bye.
cinta di depan mata. Tak mampu lagi ku berkata
kata cinta sia-sia.
Setahun lebih ku mencoba.
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany. Listener, to make Indonesia the world's modest fashion center, Jakarta Muslim Fashion Week is being held again. The launching of the Jakarta Muslim Fashion Week 2025 was conducted by Indonesian Trade Minister Zulkifli Hasan in Jakarta mid-July. Meanwhile, the peak event will be held at ICE BSD Tangerang from October 9 to the 12, 2024, along with Trade Expo Indonesia 2020. Listener, currently some 34 entrepreneurs were chosen to join Jakarta Muslim Fashion Week 2025. In manpower development for the modest fashion sector, the Trade Ministry joined hands with the Education, Culture, Research and Technology Ministry of Indonesia by facilitating vocational students to showcase their best work at the peak of Jakarta Muslim Fashion Week 2025. Meanwhile, in this year's cosmetic sector, Wardah is joining again with their innovative products. This year, Jakarta Muslim Fashion Week is collaborating again with the Indonesian Textile Association. The event also provides an opportunity for the textile industry to build business networks with fashion brands in boosting the use of domestic textile products. To boost transaction, Jakarta Muslim Fashion Week 2025 also initiated the Buyer's Talk every month starting from July 2024. The virtual agenda invites buyers representatives of each global region to provide elaboration and inputs about quality standards, consumer demand trends, and suitable marketing strategy for Indonesian modest fashion brands to enter the market in each region. Jakarta Muslim Fashion Week 2025 launched on Wednesday, July 17, showcase fashion parade from national modest fashion brands, namely Chante Ivan Gunawan, Jenna N. Kaya, Muda Official, Saskia Mecca, and Kala. Well, listener, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Searching sentuhan pahit mengaju pelengkap. Seribu satu perasaan bergabung setangkup senada. Curam-curam berkeliaran,
for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App and Shortwave Frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, welcome back to our program Music Corner. Today's edition of Music Corner is going to present a regional song from North Sulawesi entitled Unggenang. The song Unggenang, meaning love, tells the story of a woman's doubt about her partner. The song depicts the image of Minahasa women who are transparent and brave enough to take a stand. The lyrics in Unggenang also contain a request for men to be able to prove their love with sincerity and certainty. Here is Unggenang from Minahasa, North Sulawesi, sung by Lydia Korampis. Enjoy listening to the song.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you. yang singgah dalam mimpi memutar kembali lini hatiku. Ku hanya ingin tenang.
VOI listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email, voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.